Well, good morning, BCF. Welcome again to worship. Thank you, Jared and Patricia, for leading us in worship. If you have a Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have your Bible, hit pause, go grab it, come back, and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Here is the word of the Lord. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the opportunity we have to gather together, even remotely, to worship you and to praise you. We long for the day when all of us will be together. And we pray that comes soon. But until then, help us to engage in your word. Use your word to encourage us, to challenge us, to live as a community, as your people, united in Christ. And we pray in the end, you would receive all the glory and the praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again. It's great to be with you this morning. Wish I could see all your faces, but I know you're there. And we are going to dig into the Word together this morning. I'm sure you have noticed as the last year or so in our country, especially recently, that there are some disagreements that people have in our country. It seems that no matter what subject matter it is that you believe about or somebody else believes something about, somebody else disagrees and they're going to make sure that they tell you how they disagree. There's lots of examples, but there are many that are prominent right before us. Let's just name them. Masks. Do we wear masks or do we not wear masks? Schools, do we open them or do we not? Church, do we meet inside or stay online and meet outside? And then the big one coming up with the election is Biden or Trump or neither. There's so many different beliefs and opinions and statements about this, and then clearly other people disagree. The list could go on and on and on. It seems as if the way the world is working, that you have to pick a side, and then you surround yourself with people that are like-minded, that think exactly like you, and of course everybody like you is correct in all things, and then you point the finger at the other side, and you say how much they're wrong and how they've got it all wrong. I mean, it's so easy to seek out in the world around us, to seek out people that agree with you, that watch the same channels as you, listen to the same commentators, read the same articles and news as you, vote the exact same way as you, and then to keep everybody else at a distance, separated, divided. See, it's really hard to create any kind of unity and real legitimate community when we have these different views and we keep separate. We use them to divide one another. And so many have observed that it seems our nation is so very divided these days. And yet there's hope that this is not the way it needs to be, because there is one place left. There is one place left where people who come from different economic, religious, cultural, racial, social backgrounds can be unified, can love one another, can enjoy one another while maintaining some of their uniqueness as created by God. I think you figured it out. The place is the church. It's the people of God living in unified community with Christ at the center. But even the church, if we are not careful, then we can fall prey to the same trappings of the world and begin to divide ourselves over secondary issues and all of a sudden become divided instead of united in Christ. We're talking about our core values. Last week we heard from Jim about our core value of truth, the truth of the Word of God. Next week we will hear about our third core value of mission and how we desire to be a people that shares the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection with the whole world to the ends of the earth. But this week we focus on community. These values are in this order on purpose, that we ground ourselves in truth and that our community is built on the truth And then from our community flows out in love the spread of the good news of the gospel. See, being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it means you are a member of the universal church, but of a local expression of God's church around the world. And that means you're in community. But to be in that kind of community that God has called us to is going to take work. It's going to take effort. It requires an eagerness on our behalf to be unified and united around Jesus Christ. So we value community because the church and the kingdom of God is not just built on one person. It's all of us together, bringing glory to God through our love, being in unity together, ministering together, everyone engaged in the work of ministry. We value community because Jesus told us that the world would know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. And so we want to dig in and to engage in what it means to be the community that God has called us to. Now, trusting in Christ and being unified around Christ in this community does not mean that we're just going to start to agree on everything. We're going to have some different views about education and politics and social issues, masks even. But that doesn't mean we're not unified. God calls us to be together and working through these issues together, not dividing, but coming close in relationship, in community. It seems extra challenging at this time because we're not able to gather all together. We're not able to be all together and talk through and wrestle through and love one another and care for one another. And yet we have the means to still grow in community and unity. And so we don't get a free pass on building the community that God has called us to because we're not able to be here at the moment. One day I'm trusting that we will be able to gather again in worship in this room all together or around a meal together in wonderful fellowship. But until that day comes, we can spend time reflecting and thinking deeply about what it means to walk in the calling in which God has called us, which is to be his people, to be in community, and to bring glory to him and us great joy. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, we see in these few short verses here at the beginning of the chapter, some incredibly challenging teaching from God through the Apostle Paul. We're going to see 3 points here this morning. First, that we are exhorted and urged to walk in the calling God has for us as a community. And then we're going to understand the manner in which we are to walk in that calling. And then third, we're going to see the effort that it takes to walk in that calling, to be a community centered around Christ. So right here in chapter 4, verse 1, we see Paul says urge, or some of your Bibles may say exhort, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, when Paul says to walk, he's not meaning literally go on a walk. He means that metaphorically, it's a way to describe living your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in this context, this living is in light of God's call for us. But what is the calling to which we have been called? Well, you need to do a review of Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 to understand what the calling is, that it's both individual and corporate. In chapter 1, if you were to go back and read, you would see God's call on us individually, choosing us before the foundation of the world for salvation in Christ, and then being adopted in him, becoming a son or daughter of his family, and then receiving all the spiritual blessings and the inheritance, the guaranteed inheritance of God's kingdom. And then in chapter 2, we learn that even though we were dead in sin, God called us to himself by grace through faith, and that we can be saved, made brand new, and then live out the works that God has created for us all through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in the end of chapter 2, into chapter 3, Paul begins to transition from the individual calling of being saved from our sins and knowing Christ to the corporate calling for us who are in Christ, that now Jews and Gentiles, people who are completely separate, who have so much not in common, that now they are one in Christ. They are brothers and sisters in this new kingdom that God has established. Now, Gentiles, when Paul says that, Gentiles are everybody who's not Jewish. And so there's this incredible diversity within the body of Christ, within the church, within community that God has called us to. So this calling is not just individual. It's just not me and Jesus. It's us and Jesus as well. This is what God has done. He has called us to these truths and these realities. And so now being a part of the church involves being in this relationship with all these people from different backgrounds, but being unified around Christ. One theologian said what Paul has been doing here in Ephesians is he's helping us see what is true theologically, but then he's helping us make it true experientially, to live it out. And that's why he says walk in this call, this personal call of salvation, but the corporate call of unity within the diversity of the body of Christ in the church. And we here have one little expression of God's church called BCF, and we are called to be in community with one another. This is the reality that he's trying to help us live out as adopted sons and daughters. We are now a family. This calling is past tense. It's already happened. It's to point out that God is the one who has called us to this. We'll deal with more of this later, but it's not something we produce. It's what God does in and through us. So if you could imagine sitting in the auditorium with brothers and sisters in Christ and looking around and thinking about all the differences that you hold, all the ways that you may disagree on secondary topics, not the gospel of Jesus, we agree on that. But secondary topics, both related to some theology, but the things of the world. Regardless of all of that, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are God's people, and we are to walk in that calling. That is what God has told us to do, to live in unity. Now, unity is not the center of what we focus on. Our goal is not unity. Our goal is Christ. I've been around in ministry long enough that I've seen on campuses and in towns where some people try to create unity ministries, where all these different churches and parachurch ministries gather together in unity, and they always tend to fizzle out. And I think they do because at the center of all these people gathered, the goal is just to be unified. Is to try to be the same, to come together, and unity is the purpose. Unity is not the purpose. Christ is the purpose. He is at the center of all we do. And when we look to Christ, when we focus on Christ, when we ground ourselves in the truth of God's word, then we're unified. And the secondary issues, the other things that we struggle through, we can work together through them. Because Christ is who unifies us, not those other things. Christ must be at the center. If we allow anything else to go into the center, politics, education, finances, worship styles, theological frameworks, we will end up being divided. So this beautiful theological truth that Christ has united us, now Paul is exhorting us, it's a strong word, exhorting us, to walk in it, to experience the joy of unity in Christ and being in community together. Our differences and disagreements won't divide us because we will seek to come together in unity and understanding, and we will grow over time more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. So we value community because of this teaching from Paul to walk in what God has already done in us and what he wants for us, the experience of the joy of being part of God's family and his community. We must walk in this calling, but it's not easy. It doesn't just happen when we show up. Paul gives us here four qualities, the manner in which this walking should look like. How do we come into these relationships? How do we live out this experience of community? Well, back in the first verse, you notice Paul says to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. What does it mean to be walking in the manner worthy? What is that? Well, he gives us these four qualities: humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. So let's look at these briefly. Humility. Now, at the time when Paul wrote this, this idea of being humble would have stood out radically to the church community, because the world at the time did not view humility as a virtue. It was not something to pursue in your life and to have a part of your life. So when Paul says that being a part of the unity, a community of God's people, requires humility, that would have been a different kind of teaching. It was a way the kingdom is working that the world is not. Now, for some of us, we've heard that for over and over again because we've studied the scriptures, but it should shock us at some level that life is not about us. That's what humility is. It's being without arrogance. It's not thinking better of ourselves over others. It's not thinking, here's me and the universe revolves around me. No. It's the opposite of being proud and self-centered. Why do we know that? Because the scriptures tell us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's to acknowledge that we still struggle with sin, that we are a work in progress. The theologian and pastor Jonathan Edwards had many resolutions in his life that he would read on a daily basis. And the eighth resolution, part of it says that he was resolved to act in all respects, both speaking and doing, as if no one had been so vile as himself. He wanted to keep himself humble, acknowledging his sin as he related to the body of Christ within community. So the first worthy manner is to be humble. Second is gentleness. That does not mean weakness. It's actually very closely related with humility. It means not being harsh with others. And we need to be honest. At some point, people are going to bother you and I. They're going to frustrate us, even to the point where we may get angry with them. But if we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, we will be gentle with others. We won't lash out. We won't seek to degrade or punish others. Even within our hearts, we won't want to do that. William Barclay said that a person who is gentle is one that is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. Are we humble? Are we gentle towards others? It's so easy to not be. I remember one time Lisa and I were in an adult education class here at church years ago. And as we were wrestling through a certain passage in the text we were in that Sunday morning, Lisa gave an answer about what she thought the passage meant or the question at hand. Well, as soon as she was done saying what she was thinking about what it meant, somebody else in the class responded and in a fairly harsh tone told her she was completely wrong. And after that happened, she leaned over to me and said, "Well, I guess I'm never going to say anything else in this class." See, without gentleness, it just shuts people down. And that's not the kind of worthy manner in which we're to walk. We're to be gentle. If somebody says something that's wrong, we can respond with gentleness and help them, not just shut them down, not be harsh with them. We want to encourage one another. We want to be gentle. Third, the third manner that is worthy to walk in is patience. Again, this highlights that the body of Christ, our church, our community, that we have differences because we need to be patient with one another. And this is not just long suffering or enduring, or that is there in this idea of being patient. But one way to define it is to have a state of calm in the face of provocation or misfortune, without complaint or irritation. As one commentator said, it's being able to endure annoyances and difficulties over a period of time. Now, maybe that's what Paul led by the Spirit, included this in here because he knows we need to be patient with others because they will annoy us. And if we're humble, that we know we will annoy them. And we're going to need to endure. We're going to need to walk through that with each other, which leads us to our last quality here, bearing with one another in love. What does it mean to bear with one another? Well, you could actually translate that phrase bearing with as putting up with. Now, that would not sound great by itself as the church. We just need to put up with each other as the body of Christ to live in community. But Paul doesn't say just bear with. He says bear with one another in love. He adds that clarification, that qualification to this quality. This is the kind of love, this putting up with, bearing with, that it's not based on emotion. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on the benefit that I necessarily get. It's based on an act of the will to choose to bear with and to love someone who I have a hard time loving. We've all been in those situations where we just don't click with somebody. We struggle to engage with them. And yet, we are to bear with them. And again, in humility, we should acknowledge that others probably have to bear with me. They probably have to put up with me and my sin and my failings and my weaknesses. See, this bearing with means when it's difficult, we don't walk away. We don't give up on each other, but we fight to stay connected in unity, choosing to bear with one another in love, even if it's hard. Now, this kind of love doesn't look over sin and just ignore it. It doesn't approve of wrong doctrine, no, but it's the kind of love that understands we are all being sanctified by God, by His Spirit. And we're all in this process. And where we are today is not where we will be in a year, Lord willing. And so we walk alongside one another, encouraging one another, bearing with one another in love as God conforms us to the image of Christ. I need others to put up with me in love. We are here in this body together for the good of each other. So we see these four qualities: humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. And I hope as you read that, you don't just feel under the pile. You don't just feel like it's impossible. But instead you think, no, there is one who is that way, and it's Christ. That he was humble, and he is continually gentle and patient and putting up with me as I still sin against him. Think of how Christ relates to you as you have trusted in him. And he becomes not only the one who loves us and saves us and transforms us into the image that God desires of us, but he is the one through his power, his Spirit, allows us to live these qualities out in our community with each other. These qualities, this is so radically different than the way the world often operates, that it seeks to divide and tear down. The Christian community is one that pursues, that uplifts, that encourages, because we are seeking to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. But this is hard, and it's not just that we can do this once. This is going to take some effort. It's going to take continual work. I try to tell my children all the time that anything good is going to cost something. It's going to cost you money, or it's going to cost time or energy and effort. And that's true of the community of God's people, the community here at BCF centered on Christ and walking in the way that Paul has exhorted us to walk. And he says here in verse 3 that we are to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What is eagerness? It's to be zealous, to take pains, to make every effort, to do something with intense effort and motivation, to work hard. Why? It's because of what Christ has already done to maintain the unity that he has already purchased for us. Paul says back in chapter 2 of Ephesians, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." God has already done this through Christ. He has already made us at peace with one another. And so we should be eager to maintain that peace, maintain that unity that Christ has purchased for us. Our country is not at peace, and not just because of the virus and the different views about how to handle it, but it's because the world puts up walls of separation. It wants to build dividing walls of hostility, and Christ has torn those down. And now we, as his people, who are at peace with God and peace with one another, can be eager to maintain that unity that he has purchased. It is so important that we notice that we don't create the unity. We seek to maintain the unity provided by the Spirit. We're just eager to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. We do this work, this eager work of maintaining the unity and the bond of peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in our own effort, but through God's strength and power. And so we should ask ourselves if we're eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. I mean, I notice in my own life that the more I immerse myself in what the world around me is saying and doing and thinking, the more I start to get influenced. And the trajectory of my life is to move away from other people, is to label other people, put them in the opposing camp where I am. It's why our community is first built on the truth of God's word. We need to endure being in God's word. We need to do the hard work of consistently being in the word so that from God's word, through his Spirit, we can see humility and gentleness and patience start to be the fruit of our life instead of pride and selfishness and judgmentalism of my brothers and sisters. It takes work. Am I eager to maintain this unity that Christ has purchased for us? There are lots of practical ways that this can happen, but perhaps it's taking the time and energy to connect with somebody within the body, within our community that you normally don't talk to. Or maybe you've never talked to, you've seen them, but you've never approached them. You have no idea what they think, what they believe. And so you engage with them. Maybe it's somebody that you see posting something online that you wonder, and instead of just thinking about it or talking to others about it, go to them. And ask them what they meant. And engage with them. And work to come together, centered around Christ together. Be eager to maintain unity. Maybe even another practical step that I know I need to work on is when I'm in conversations with somebody else is watch out for the me monster. Just that moment of waiting to talk about me instead of hearing about them. I want to be eager to maintain unity, and that requires me to learn about them, to find out about what they're thinking, what they're believing, what's going on in their life, so I can pray for them and encourage them and be unified with them. Listen, engage, ask more questions. Be eager to maintain unity in the Spirit. Maybe it's to join a community group, or maybe for some it's even to start a community group where those that are part of the community that have not yet been established in these kinds of close-knit family relationships can join in and can know others and be known. Maybe it's to join one or to start one. And I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe it's to be eager to gather together again in fellowship. We've been online and outside now for so long, it can probably be easy to just think this is the way to do this. We'll just keep this up. I like this. I can watch the service anytime. I can engage on my own agenda. And I don't have to put up with all the other stuff that goes with coming on a Sunday and deal with all the different realities of the people. God has called us to be together, and one day we will come together and worship. Are you eager to get back together when God provides the moment and the opportunity to do that? Are you eager? This is what God, through the Apostle Paul, has commanded us to do, to be eager to gather together in community. Having this kind of community that Christ has already purchased but we walk in is difficult. It is hard. It is hard work. And this is a unique moment. It's a strange time. And yet, as I've said before, we don't get a free pass. We can still work on this and engage with one another, even from a distance. God has called us to be unified as a community, to love one another, to bear with one another in humility and gentleness and patience. We value community not just because we want people to feel good about coming to BCF. We value community because we value the truth of the Word of God, and we seek to obey the truth of the Word of God and God's call on us to be unified in Christ as brothers and sisters. While the world continues to seek to divide, would God make us a people that live out, that walk in what He's already done, eager to maintain unity with Christ at the center as we put up with each other in love, in humility and gentleness and patience. Those are the marks of a Christ-centered community. Father, we praise You that You have saved us from our sin, but that You saved us to be a part of Your church, Your community. And now we have all these brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, in our flesh, in our sinful nature, we want to cause division in a way that You have united. So, Father, I pray that You would help us walk in the calling to which You have called us. That we would be people by the power of the Spirit that are humble, that are gentle, that are patient, and that bear with one another in love. And Father, that we would be eager to maintain unity, that we would not let anything divide us, but we would be eager to be united around Christ. And when that happens, Father, I do pray that You would bring us much joy, much pleasure, but more so that You would bring Christ to glory as the one who created this community and the unity we have. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.